Jai Radha Madhava. Krishna Gopubina Shamakund Radhakund Kiri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Tham Ki Sri Mayapur Navadip Tham Ki Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Jamunamai Gangamai Ki Jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Go Premanande
Hare Guru.
So that is called the Prema Dvani. It means to call out in love. And no matter how many times we sing that Prema, we say the Prema Dvani, we don't become tired of it. It doesn't become old or hackneyed, because we're remembering our line. We're remembering and counting our blessings. We're seeing how we've come here. The universe is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as a place where we are seeing only the reflection of the spiritual world. Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nacharya nacha sampratishta ashvatamenam suvaruda mulam Sangha Shastrena Dridhena Chitva. This world is like a banyan tree. And a banyan tree has many twists and turns. It's very difficult to understand where it begins and where it ends. Looks like it's going up and down. Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate. We can't tell its form. Nanto nachadir nachasampratishta. We can't see its beginning and we can't see its end. Ashvatam eram suvaruda mulam. It's deeply rooted. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. But Krishna says, we must cut down that deeply rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Asanga. Because my association in this world is what develops me in different ways. So this Prema Dvani, we sing this after each kirtan, remembering the line of teachers who have brought us this knowledge from Krishna in the spiritual world, passed it down to us. And one of the most stimulating, invigorating things that one can do is to count one's blessings. So it's also a way of counting our blessings, how all our guardians are lined up to help us. And when we remember the holy places, like Sri Vrindavan Dham and Mayapur Dham, we remember our home. And if we have the good fortune to go to those places and develop a relationship with them, then we can live there. Even in our mind, if we can't go there physically, we can live there in our minds and hearts. And this was recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Midatam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Sagatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shivishakamitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa trubhyascha kripasindukhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis present here today. It's an honor to be here with you. And every time I come to ISKCON Brampton, I see that it's becoming more vibrant and there are more devotees here. This looks like Kumbh Mela. Congratulations. And here, nobody knows practically that everyone's congregating here, that all of you are coming here, and that you have a transcendental plot to take over whatever this town is, Brampton and all the areas around here. But that's our idea, actually. We'd like to expand unlimitedly, and that's what Sankirtan means, because Krishna is everywhere. He's within the heart of every being. And Samkirtan means Samyak Kirtan. Kirtan comes from the word Kirti, which means fame. And Kirtan means to spread the fame of Krishna. And Samkirtan means the all-encompassing way of doing that, and doing it together with many, many people. The more people involved, the better. And not just people. Lord Chaitanya got animals involved. When he went through the Jarikanda forest, even elephants and tigers and deer joined in the Sankirtan. Devotees are so kind and merciful that they can invite even animals to be part of the Sankirtan movement. I have a friend, Bhaktadas, who used to spend a lot of time in Vrindavan, and he had an uncanny relationship with the dogs there. You know the Dom dogs?
Yeah.
Dom dogs are funny, you know. They just, sometimes I see them running along the parikram mark. They're going somewhere. I don't know how they figure out where they're going. They go and they live, when I walk by, mostly in the day they sleep, at night they stay awake. They lounge around in the day, mostly. But they sleep in the dust of Vrindavan all day long. And Bhaktadas, he can talk to dogs when he goes by anywhere. He'll, even in his car in Thailand, he'll roll down the window and he'll talk to them, and they respond to him like anything. But in Vrindavan, sometimes he was taking a rickshaw, certain dogs would become attached to him, and he'd say, "Okay, get in," you know. And you see him driving around with the dog, and they become attached to him. There's a dog that comes to Prem Kishore's place. He has a goshala along the parikram marg, near the Krishna Balaram temple. When you go out the door of Krishna Balaram, right past Prabhupada Samadhi at the front of the temple, you can offer your obeisances at Prabhupada Samadhi and then go out the front and then take a right and go down just half a block and then take another right. You're going clockwise around Vrindavan that way. You offer your, well, then if you go straight ahead, Krishna Balaram tree, it's a tree that's half, it's black and white together, Krishna Balaram tree. It'll be on your right-hand side. Keep going past that, and you'll see on your right, there's a hospice that was just the devotees built. So the devotees can, when they start leaving their bodies, and it seems like a lot of us are now doing that, they have a place where they can be in Vrindavan and be taken care of in hospice care. And then a little bit further, then take a right past that, keep turning right. If you keep going down that road, on the right-hand side, the ISKCON Goshala, Bhaktivedanta Swami Goshala is on the right. And just across from that is Prem Kishore's house. And there's a dog that comes every day right on time because he feeds them. He gives them a few chapatis. And it's not like he just shows up whenever he feels like it, but right at the same time, It's at 1:59, 59 seconds, he'd come running down the road. And I was looking at him to see if he had a wristwatch or something. How do they do that? The Krishna is within the heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride sharajuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani maya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm there. I'm the super soul. I'm there within everyone's heart and giving intelligence to every living being. And in Chaitanya Leela, when Shivananda Sain was a very special devotee. He took care of all the other devotees. It's a big deal. As we know, just coming from the Toronto Temple to ISKCON Brampton, we can see it was a big deal. We had a few cars, and getting everyone out the door and into the right car, and then we followed the GPS, and we left 10 minutes earlier, and we got here about 5 minutes after. So you never know what's going to happen when you travel. When you move from one place to another, that's why this world's called Durga. Durga means difficult to go, Durgachati. It's hard to go anywhere in this world. Hard to stay also. But wherever you go, it's difficult. So organizing the devotees when they move around is a challenge. But it's very rewarding. This is an all-encompassing service, taking care of the devotees. We used to have a Shivananda Sain back in the 70s. So many devotees would go to see Prabhupada in Mayapur, because Prabhupada said, come to Mayapur once a year. Everyone was engaged in preaching full time. And then Prabhupada would say, but take a month off and come see me in Mayapur. So that's what everyone did, except for some pujaris and, you know, someone had to keep the shop open. And we rent an airliner. We leased an airliner. And it would start in California and then fly to New York. So half the devotees would get on in California, and then it would stop over in New York, and then the East Coast devotees would get on. And there we had it. We had our own, I don't know if it was a 747. Coming back it was. Going over with 747? Okay, it was a huge plane. And the place where now they have these individual screens for movies, but there used to be a big screen. And that's where we put the deities. You know, so we had the Mangal Artik, and we had the regular program. Sigourney Thai was there. And then, of course, there was prasadam served on the plane. Coming back, though, I remember it wasn't all devotees. We shared the plane. It was about three-quarters devotees in the first class, and some of the other areas were other people who got on the plane. But coming back from India, the devotees had purchased madungas and kartals. So much for their first-class comfort, because as soon as we got on and the flight was coming back, you know, devotees couldn't contain themselves. They had just learned new beats, and it wasn't the kind of kartals we get now. We used to get gigantic kartals. They were actually made out of this really nice metal. They don't have it anymore. And it's hard to get. The big bell metal kartals, gigantic. And as what we call wompers now. I'm sure it has a different name in Bengali.
Jaja.
Yeah, Jaja. So we had those and all kinds of madungas, and devotees would jump up, led by Uttama Shloka, and they'd start singing, you know, and the plane would rock. And the pilot was like, no, no, no. And the people in front in first class cabin would, you know, like, what's going on back there? I paid good money for this. And so they'd come back and they'd quiet everybody down, get the devotees seated back. But after all, we're dealing with 20-year-olds, and, you know, half hour later, someone would jump up, Haribol! You know, and they would start singing again and chanting. But there was one devotee named Mahendra, and Mahendra, he organized all these flights and he took care of all the devotees. I remember coming back, the Brahmacharis are hungry. They're a hungry group. So, you know, on these flights, they'd bring around one cracker and one piece of cheese. And while they were serving it, I saw Brahmacharis in the galleyway coming back with... So before it actually got distributed to the whole plane, you know, there was one little corner where the Brahmacharis polished everything off, and the flight attendants were looking for where all their supplies went. So the devotees from Navadvip used to come every year to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was a devotee, Shivananda Sain. And Shivananda Sain was the one who looked out for all the devotees. He would make sure that they had a place to stay. And after all, they're walking. Walking. Anybody here ever walked from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri? I thought I saw a hand. We should try it sometime. But they would walk all together, and along the way, Padyatra. Did you do that? No. So some devotees have done Padyatra, go along with the ox cart. And Lokanath Maharaj, Ruchi used to do that. Jayadvaita Maharaj was on there. It's really nice to slow down and do that. In any case, they'd all walk together and they would sing and then they'd stop, you know, at places along the road. Somebody had to make arrangements for all that. And they did, you know, all the same kind of businesses that are in the world today were there 500 years ago. They charged taxes for going across the river and you had to, you know, get reservations to stay in certain places. So Shivananda Sen would go ahead of the party and he would arrange all these things. And one day, a dog saw the Vaishnavs and said, I want to be a Vaishnav too. And the dog came along and he started following. So Shivananda said, he's in. He's one of us. And he told the cook, I want you to cook for him. I want first class rice cooked for this dog every day because this is the heart of a Vaishnav. When we hear about Vaishnavs are paradukaduki. Vaishnavs, their heart goes out to every living entity. Once Prabhupada saw a little bug in his room and he asked Shrutikirti to come in. He said, please, you know, take him out. I think he's hungry. Put him on a leaf outside where he can get something to eat. And the Vaishnav looks at the world as a place where he or she can assist other living entities, help them in their suffering, and invite them into the kirtan. This is what Samyak Kirtan means. It means to have this feeling that the kirtan is so nice. This is the way it grows. If you chant and you feel like Rupa Goswami said in his poetry, that I need millions of ears and I need millions of tongues to do this. This means you're advancing in chanting. So in the beginning, it's difficult to chant maybe because the taste may not be there, but gradually the taste is there so much that you can't have enough ears. You're praying for enough ears. But one way to get more ears and more tongues is to bring more people. I mean, you can't literally grow more tongues and more ears, but if you get more people, you get the same satisfaction because, like in this temple, you know, you have that bhava, that feeling that we want more people to take this because you love it so much. You can see by the way that you worship your deities here and the care you take to keep this place. Nobody does this unless they have a deep down love and feeling for Krishna. And because of that, you want to expand. You want to bring others in to share it with them, and vicariously you experience it through them. In fact, every new person that comes, we get to re-experience what Krishna consciousness is. The most exciting thing, one of the most exciting aspects of Krishna consciousness is the first time you hear the holy name and you realize, I have to be a devotee. You don't know why, you don't know where it came from, but there's this primal urge from within your heart that's not explainable intellectually. You can go tell your friends, and it's kind of like explaining that you just saw a UFO. You know, people, they see UFOs, you read about this. They go out in their backyard one night, you know, they're just minding their own business, and they look and they say, what is that? And it's a, you know, some spaceship on their lawn, and then by the time they run in to get, you know, to get wife and children out of bed and stuff like that, then they come running out and it's gone. So, no, really, I saw it. And they say, yeah, yes, all right, calm down, you know. It must have been the cough syrup. And then, you know, he knows he saw it, so then he becomes so absorbed in that, he looks through the internet and he finds a UFO group. And he's like, I'll go and be with these people. They understand me. So devotees are like that. You know, they hear the holy name and they go, I got to do this. I got to give up, you know, all these other habits. And your friends are, what? You're kidding me, right? And they, you know, so you have to go find a group. And here it is. Here's the group. So Shivananda Sen took the dog in out of this feeling that he had come for shelter, and he told the cook to take good care of him, and the dog was coming along with the devotees. And one day Shivananda Sen had to go way far ahead of the party to arrange some of the accommodations. And in the days before that, even when they were crossing rivers and they'd get on a boat, the boatman would, the toll taker would say, no dogs. And Shivananda Sen would slip him extra money on the side and say, look, this dog comes through, and pay him, and he'd come through. That's how attached he was to the dog. And all the devotees were. But this particular day, he came back in the evening, and he couldn't see the dog. So he asked where the dog was. Nobody knew. And he asked the cook, did you cook his rice? Did he give? Oh, and the cook forgot. And Shivananda Sen became very disturbed. And everyone else became disturbed that the dog had not been properly taken care of and it had gone off on its own. They didn't know where. He left the party. We should feel like that when anybody comes. We should feel, when any soul comes, we should feel so attached to them and that we are their guardians to help them in every way. We should feel like that about all the devotees, looking in on the devotees to make sure that they're being taken care of. This is what a community is. It doesn't matter the building so much or the location, although those are nice things to have. But the real thing is the state of heart of the devotees. If the devotees are looking out for each other with this feeling that it's so important that the devotees feel encouraged and they feel cared for and they feel loved, then when you have that, nothing can stop you. Because, as it says in the Bible, you can build, if you build on sand, if you build your house on sand, shifting sands, then when a storm comes, it will scatter the house. But if you build your house on solid rock, then any storm that comes will not disturb your house. So the solid foundation of Krishna consciousness is the care we have within our hearts for the devotees. And so all the devotees deeply felt it. It wasn't something sentimental that the dog had gone away and, you know, they were just sentimentally attached to the dog. They actually felt that they lost a new member of their party and they were very disturbed. And so they went on for a couple more days until they got to Jagannath Puri without the dog in a very somber mood. But when they arrived in Jagannath Puri, they went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was sitting in his little courtyard and he was taking the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's food. He had some green coconut pulp on his plate and the dog was sitting right across from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was throwing him remnants and the dog would catch them. And Mahaprabhu was saying, chant Krishna. And the dog, Krishna. And when Shivananda Sen saw the dog sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and offered obeisances to the dog. He paid his dandavats to this dog because he had felt he had offended it. He had made an offense to the dog because of not taking proper care of the dog. This is the heart of the Vaishnava. After that, the dog was not seen anymore and everyone understood that it had gone back home, back to Godhead. This story is very instructive about how Vaishnavas move in this world. They care for other living beings and they're concerned for the welfare of others. So our Sankirtan movement is about being ambassadors of goodwill. And when we go to meet people or if we stay in and meet people, doesn't matter, in or out. Really, it's the same thing. Wherever we are, this quality of compassion and accommodation and humility on our part is what is the Vaishnav standard. Trinadapi sunichena, toror api sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This means that we should cultivate humility. Humility like the grass, trinadapi, that even if someone steps on me, I don't retaliate. And tolerance. Tolerance is such a powerful quality that is rarely found in this world. But it is recommended over and over again by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. This quality of remaining the same despite what changes come in the outer world. is Krishna's recommendation. One must become, he says, dhira. Because the ultimate change comes. Dehino smin yata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. The body's changing from boyhood to youth to old age, and then at death we change into another body. What a change that is. So one must practice tolerance throughout this lifetime in order to be able to meet that change, like a yogi, like Bhishma Dev did, like Srila Prabhupada did. And it's the responsibility of each person to do that individually. Ultimately, the Shastra, the Acharya, can give instruction, but we have to follow them. And the main... you always win with fundamentals. If you maintain the fundamentals well, all the other details come naturally. Again, in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is speaking about knowledge, everyone wants knowledge. It's highly valued everywhere, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
So, people prepare their whole lives to go to school and to go to higher and higher kinds of education because knowledge is very important for having some comfort in this world. It means freedom if you have knowledge. And Krishna says, what is the process of getting knowledge? He tells in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, starting with the 8th verse, and the first word he says is amanitvam, means humility. And then the next word is pridelessness. And the next is nonviolence. So these are the practices of Vaishnava. And this is what propels the Sankirtan movement. This is what is the foundation of the Sankirtan movement, is this mood of humility and of care and compassion for others. And that mood, when it is cultivated and when it is practiced regularly anywhere, you could practice in your own home. You don't have to go anywhere to do this. You can practice with your own self, with your own family, these practices, these qualities. And when you do that, then you create such an environment that Krishna will be attracted to that environment, and everyone else will also. That's what expands the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada was one person who imbibed those qualities, who to the highest degree displayed those qualities. And because of it, people were attracted. That's why people are attracted. The external aspects of any organization or religion are not so compelling for people, especially nowadays. When I was in Montreal, we went to the Notre Dame church. I went with Gora. Who else came?
Anubhava.
And Prabhupada had gone there, so we went in also. And while we were inside, we read some of the things that Prabhupada said while he was inside, in that beautiful church. After we left that church, I found out that there are many, many churches all over Montreal, but most of them are closing. And some of them being turned into housing projects. Other ones, they're taking the pews, that means those long wooden seats, and they're selling them to skateboard parks for people to skateboard on. Because they're not being used that much. So in this age, the form and the differences in religion people are looking beyond those. What they really want to see and what they really feel for are the Vaishnava qualities. So we have the great fortune of following in the line of many great teachers who have showed us the path, and we simply follow them. Bejare muneo tagre bhagavantamad hoksajam satvam vishuram shemaya kalpante yunutaniha. The process of going back home, back to God, it is to follow those great sages who have those qualities and emulate them, following step by step what they have done. Anu means to follow. And Bhagavatam says, even if you're not a great sage yourself, even if you're not very advanced, if you follow those who are, you get the same result. How do you like that? Not bad, right? That's our system. we follow the great sages. Bejre Munio Tagre. Previously, all the great sages, Bhagavantam Adhoksaja, they concentrated all their attention on Adhoksaja, Krishna. Sattvam Vishuddham Shemaya. They attained the highest benefit because Krishna is beyond the three modes of material nature. And anyone who follows them, Sattvam Vishuddham Shemaya, Kalpante Yenutaniha, Anutaniha, means that if you follow the same path given by those great sages, you're eligible for the same thing. That's a big deal. That's the special mercy of the great sages and the great acharyas. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere, it is said that the great acharyas come and give a process to follow, just like you're all following here. You're actually following a process that's been passed down through the acharya system, acharya upasana. And because of that, following that system, when you approach the ocean of material existence, which is very difficult to cross, the ocean shrinks to the size of the hoofprint of a calf by the mercy of the previous acharyas who have given us that. Therefore, we have this system of sankirtan. Prabhupada emphasized the distribution of literature. How much did he emphasize it? Well, here's some indication. This is how much it was on his mind and what his intention was. When he came to America, do you know how many books he had with him? He had some trunks. They were loaded on the boat in Colombo, actually. Prabhupada got on the boat and it went all the way to the tip of India and over by Colombo, and then the cargo was loaded on the ship and he could see his trunks coming onto the ship. That was his main cargo. That was his only cargo. He had those books. Do you know which books they were? Have you seen them? Srimad Bhagavatam? Was it 60 volumes? How many volumes was it? Three volumes. And what was in the three volumes? First canto. That's what was there, right? Now, if you read the flyer that Prabhupada made around that time, well, he had three books, one canto. He says 60 fully illustrated books. And that his mission has international scope. Now, here he is coming to America with no money. Three volumes, one canto, and he advertises 60 fully illustrated. That's a missionary spirit. That's the missionary spirit of ISKCON. We follow Prabhupada. That's his forward reach, thinking like that. And that's exciting. That's what gets everyone moving. When you're thinking like that, think big. Back in our temple, this is from personal experience, just something that happened to us recently, because stretching and making stretch goals, like I see you do here, you're having 64 round eight. Every time I come, there's something even more progressive than the last time. And so I know you can relate to this story. I was in India during Kartik, because I go there every year, Krishna willing, to spend time at Govardhan Hill and hear and chant for a month. Just sit down with my god brothers in a room, and we just read Prabhupada's books and chant all day long. And you're all invited. But you got to tell in advance, because it's hard to find rooms. And so, one year, and we go out for parikram around Govardhan Hill. Just walk around. All you have to do is walk around Giriraj, because he's so merciful that just if you walk around him, he gives you everything. Whatever you want, he'll give you. He's so kind. And if you're walking around chanting and thinking, oh, I'd like to advance in devotional service, he'll allow you to advance in devotional service. People know it too, the secret's out. Years ago, I remember going on parikram around Govardhan Hill, and there weren't many people there. I went around on a Nirjal Ekadashi once with Ruchi. We walked all the way around and we fasted, and it was ecstatic. But we were practically the only ones there. I think it was in 1975 or something. And it was pretty quiet. Compare that 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I think it was Purushottam Mass, Was that 6 years ago when I went? Purushottam instead of Kartik, because it was in September rather than October. So I went, and there were millions and millions of people going around Govardhan Hill. And at least, 5% of them were going around doing Dandavat Parikram. They take all the kids. We're going on vacation, kids. Where we go? We're going to do Dandavat Parikram around Govardhan Hill. You want to come? Yeah! So they all come out, the whole family, and they do Dandavat. It means they fall down like a stick, and they get up, and they fall down, and they go all the way around the hill like that. So, Govardhan Hill and hearing and chanting. I'm taking a step back. Where was I?
Giri Raj will give you everything.
And before that, stretch goals. So I was walking around Govardhan Hill, and we were getting ready for our Christmas marathon to distribute books. We have a monthly Sankirtan festival like you all do here. Go out once a month, and we invite everyone to come out. Just once a month. Everyone can come out for 5 minutes, whatever, because it transforms everyone. To take the opportunity to go out, what happens is, and Prabhupada said this in a letter to one of his disciples, that when you try to do this, you get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. You get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So we were getting ready for our Christmas monthly Sankirtan festival, which stretches out over about 7 weeks. It's a little longer than the regular 1 day or 5 minute thing. So I was walking around Giridhar doing the, just chanting, and I started getting this feeling that we had made a goal for December to distribute 10,000 books. And I just got an overwhelming feeling. I can't even remember where I was at the time, and I thought, 10,000 books just isn't enough. And I thought, we should do 20,000 books. And it wasn't, I really felt like it came from Giriraj himself, because it just popped into my mind and it became like this overwhelming sense. So when I got back to the ashram, I got on Skype and I got in touch with one of our Sankirtan leaders there. Her name is Praveena. And I told her, said, I just got this really wild inspiration while I was on Parikram. She said, what is it? And I said, our goal, 10,000? She said, it's not working. I thought, 20,000. And she's up for anything all the time. That's her nature. Whatever the goal is, she'll let's go for it. But her husband was in the room. He's a little more conservative. And he could overhear what was going on. He was standing there going, tell him no! Tell him no! He could hear. And no, I didn't hear him. She told me afterwards. He was like, no, say no, say no. 20,000. And she said, yeah, let's do 20,000. And it was fixed. 20,000 books we were going to do. We'd never done more than 10,000 at any one time. So it was double what we had ever done before. And some people, when they heard it, thought it was crazy. But what happened was everyone rose to the occasion. The kids in our congregation, there about 35 of them went out on Sankirtan. They ended up distributing about 2,000 of the books themselves, wow. Just the children. That's ages 5 up to about 15. They organized themselves. They had their own separate, rally to get together. They organized all their own books, from our book inventory, and they went out and they. And when you go in and ask them now at the Sunday school, who'd like to go on Sankirtan? I do. Both hands go up. Everyone wants to go Sankirtan. Kids love it. And if kids love it, it's got to be fun, right? I always say that Sankirtan is fun and easy. Can you say it? Sankirtan is fun and easy. Book distribution is fun and easy. Confirmed. So we did more than 20,000 books. We ended up doing about 25,000 books in the month of December. And the devotees didn't want to come home. They were so excited about it, and they felt so happy about it. And this is the nature of a movement. Is somebody's got to move, and who's got to move? Each individual person has to move, and we have to think big, like Prabhupada did. When he wrote that flyer, he said 60 fully illustrated volumes. And it was he advertises it as an international movement, and he hadn't even incorporated yet. But he knew. He also knew simultaneously that it would happen. And that's because we're not the doers. It's Lord Chaitanya. But as much as we surrender, Krishna can use us. He's willing to use us full time, 24 hours a day. But it's just a question of, do I want to be used 24 hours? I had this experience the other night. Every night before I go to sleep, I get on my knees and pray. And before I was looking out the window, and I usually look at a picture of Prabhupada, and the mind's turbulent, so it can go here, though, and then sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I usually pray, well, I have different things I pray for, but that, you know, I was thinking, it was right here in Toronto, and I was on my knees, and I was thinking, I look at the picture of Prabhupada until something comes into my mind, from my heart, that I really want to pray for. And then this thought came into my mind that, what do you really want to pray for? Because imagine, Krishna will give you anything you want. So what do you really want? It's like Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers that Krishna is like a desire tree. Now imagine this, we have a desire tree right outside here. It'll give you anything you want. What are you going to ask for? What do you ask for? Actually, okay, Krishna praying, it's easy to say, but what does it entail? That, you know, it means there's a lot of implication to that. So I was thinking, if I could ask for anything, what would I ask for? And I was thinking, well, with my whole heart, do I really want to ask for something? If you go to a desire tree and you ask for a bag of hammers to fall on your head, and it falls on your head, it's not the fault of the desire tree, it's your own fault. And this is a problem, that I'm asking for all the wrong things. At least from within the core of my heart, I desire something. I still want something here in the material world that keeps me anchored. So to actually ask for unalloyed devotional service and to be used as an instrument, this is the essence of Sankirtana. It means, please let me be an instrument. Please let me be used for your purposes, Krishna. And Sankirtana is all-encompassing. It doesn't mean just book distribution. It doesn't mean just going out and chanting on the street. But it's the mood. It's the actual mood of complete surrender. Like in Los Angeles, there are some unsung heroes we see every year who do the setup for the festival, for the Rath Yatra. It's a gigantic festival. They have several huge sound stages, and it spans over. Some of you have been there probably or seen it. But it takes a lot of work to get together, as you all know, because you just did this thing yesterday, right? And it requires a cooperative effort. We see devotees behind the scenes who are working without sleep every year, year after year after, and they live for that, to be in that mode of selfless service. They don't even care who knows about it. They're so satisfied by doing that kind of service, of giving everything. This is the mood of Sankirtan. And so this is what we're after, actually. It's the only thing of value in this world is unalloyed devotional service. Everything else that's got some kind of taint to it is not very interesting or attractive. And it's not attractive to Krishna either. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll take three reflections or questions. Yes. Do you have another microphone by any chance?
Can I have different parts to my question? I have two questions.
Okay.
I don't want to put a damping spirit on your love for Sankirtan and also what I've tasted in the past.
But
well, you made this wonderful statement. Sankirtan is fun and easy.
Yes.
And so I remember at times when I attempted to do straight books without paraphernalia, without anything else. It was tough. It was a struggle having one person after the next, after the next, after the next. No, not interested. Don't have any time. So that's just one point. It, when someone would take a book, when I'd see someone going away with a Bhagavad Gita and I'd meet that wonderful soul who, oh, this is really interesting, you seem very sincere, I'd like to just give a donation for you. And it would make my day, you know, where, oh yeah, where Hare Krishna's been. And so there were those experiences. But then I remember even hearing that Pragosh one time was smashing his head against the locker doors because he was trying to do some books and he just wasn't breaking through. And he was having a hard time. So that's one point.
Let me deal with one point
Thank
at
you.
A time.
Okay.
I'm not good at multitasking. Okay, so you just need to change your parameters, that's all. It's not that the only thing that counts is that if somebody buys a book or is happy to get a book. Everything counts. Getting out the door counts. Walking down the street counts. The fact that you went out counts. When we take out Sankirtan parties, when we all go out together, I always tell, especially if it's the first time, I always tell everyone in the party, we're not going out to distribute books. We're going out to touch the pavement, and if we can do that, we're successful. Just getting out the door is a success. If we can all walk out together, and no matter how long it takes, and somehow meet in the same place, we'll call that a crowning success. After that, everything else is just extra. It's a complete blessing. So I think that, you know, the idea that I have to sell a book to be successful really limits our vision. Actually, the verse Tattenu Kampam Sisamikshamanu Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that the devotees look for opportunity, they see opportunity even in crisis and in struggle. Queen Kunti prays for it. She says, Vipara Santuta Sasva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Pavato Darshanam Yasyad Apunar Pavadarshanam. Let these calamities come more and more. Bring on the friction. Because where there's friction, you've got advancement. If you're not being stretched, if you're not being pushed, the devotees who make advancement are the ones that put themselves in the line of fire. And this is kind of what I mean about as real surrender. When you go to a desire tree, do you really want to be in the line of fire? Do you know what it's like to be around Prabhupada? The devotees who were around Prabhupada were a nervous wreck. It's not like, oh, sweet, I'm near Guruji. You know, everything's fine. Prabhupada was demanding like anything because he was fully surrendered. And if you got around him, he wanted you to be fully surrendered too. That's not easy unless you're fully surrendered. And it means you got to give up. And if you come before the deity and say, you know, please, you know, you can kill me if you like, or you can take away all my wealth. You come and ask for that? Whatever you want, it's up to you. Or do I say, please, you know, protect what I have? The deity can speak to us, but do we want him to? Because what will he say? Stay here all the time and just serve me, never go away. He could say that. Take Kshetra Sannyas, live in this building, give up your job. Not that Krishna says this necessarily, but he could. Do you want to hear that? Yeah, but I'll be back, you know. This is why this is not Rag Marg. We're on this Vaidhi Marg because we're doing regulated devotional service because that's what we can do. If Krishna starts talking to us and say, bring me more, at Govardhan Hill, at Anior, Krishna became the hill and he kept saying, bring me more, and more they brought, he said, more, bring me more. So Krishna's hungry. He can eat everything. And you're his surrendered servant, so drop what you're doing, go do it. I gotta go. But I got my, you know, there's a cricket match, or whatever, you know, it could be anything that's equal to my own self-interest, you know, that I have to give up. So anyway, to answer your question, Sankirtan, it means life. Sankirtan is life. It's life in devotional service. It's not just an activity. It's not a publicity event. It's not going out and just selling something. It means living with Krishna. It means surrendering to Krishna. It means doing what the acharyas have asked us to do. And there's nectar in that. That's fun. And it's easy because we're not the doers. Whatever happens, somebody comes, goes, says yes or no. I mean, what's that to me? I wish, you know, I'm doing my duty. Do your duty. Krishna told Arjuna, just go out. Whether you lost or gained, victory or defeat, That's not up to you. It's Krishna. You're his servant. What about the second one? We got 3 minutes left.
Okay. Thank you very much. I remember Trip Raimar saying 50% of the war against Maya is getting out the door.
That's true. And philosophers have said it throughout history as well. Just showing up is half the thing. If you go to college, you know this. If you just go sit in the front row and listen to the professor with full attention, he'll give you a really high grade, even if you do lousy on the test. Because you're thinking, here's somebody who's really intelligent. They're listening to me. Go ahead.
So you're describing the wonderful pastime of, well, you began by explaining that the Vaishnava is Paraduka Dukhi. He's merciful to all living entities, even including the dogs, even though we've heard Prabhupada say so many negative things about dogs in another context. You're describing how Sivananda Singh came and even offered his obeisances to the dog, and he was thinking of the dog, and so much affection for the dog. I was thinking of the pastime of Jat Bharat in the fifth canto, and how Prabhupada's warning, be careful about misplacing your compassion, because he was born as a deer in his next lifetime. So, of course, to be born as a dog in Vrindavan, it's, in one context, is a very high birth, but it seems to be contradictory. So I'm just wondering if you could please elaborate a bit on the difference between them.
Well, the dog wanted to join the party, and it was a different context. The devotees were all together, and they were bringing him along in Krishna consciousness. This is, and also goes back to an important point I thought of about Sankirtan being fun and easy. You were there yesterday. Was it fun? Was it easy?
Sure.
Yes, it was fun and easy. And the reason it was...
That's because I was playing the harmonium.
Well, everyone should do what they do. You play the harmonium like nobody else I know, and you sing, it's so beautiful. And so everyone contributes the way they contribute. Some people drive, some people cook, some people encourage. Everyone should do something. It's a symphony. You know, there's one instrument. I used to be in the band in high school, and there's one instrument called the triangle. And you know, everyone look at the triangle guy like, you know, what are you doing here anyway? Get that thing out of here. You know, you can't play the oboe or the clarinet. He's like, ding. He's got like two parts in the whole thing, but it makes it. It makes the whole thing. It's that one little ding, you know, that in the crescendo. Otherwise, it's not complete.
Cherry on the cake.
A cherry on the cake. So everyone has their part to play. The thing about Sankirtan is you do it together. It's fun when you're together. Yesterday it was fun because we were together.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go door to door, and you know, I'll go with 7 devotees. Wow. And we knock on one door, and they open the door, and there's 8 of us out there. Once in Florida, I was with Vidyananda. His nickname is Video Ananda because he videos everything, including our drive to the spot. He's got his house is an archive of things he's videoed. It'll be valuable someday. But, you know, they opened the door, and here he is with this gigantic video camera, and there was about 6 of us standing there. Hi! And, but that was fun, because we were together. And yesterday was fun, because we were together. There was chanting on one side, book distribution on the other side, and somebody was holding the candy. Everyone was doing something, you know, engaged together. That's Sankirtan. There is no more fun than that. You know, engage together for the service of the Lord. And when you're in that environment and a dog comes along, you know, everyone together recognizes, like, there is a morning walk when Prabhupada's on a morning walk and a dog comes by and one of the devotees tried to imitate Prabhupada and shoo it away, like Prabhupada sometimes would say, hut, hut. So one of the devotees said, hut, hut. And Prabhupada said, no, no, he wants to be with the Vaishnavas. The dog followed him. So when you're in the fire of Sankirtan, you know these things. You can see and you can appreciate who's a sincere soul. In fact, that's what the Bhagavatam describes, what the Madhyamadikari does. Ishvare taradineshu valisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. The Madhyamadikari does these things. He finds innocent people that they're open vessels and he pours in as much mercy as possible. Just keeps pouring until there's no more to pour, till the person's full up. That's what he does. And then when there's somebody that's hard and cold and envious, he just lets them go on their way. He's upeksha. He's indifferent to that person. Or he avoids them for their own sake, for their benefit, because that's mercy also. He doesn't rile them up or try to go resistance against resistance. And then he makes friendships with the devotees, which is vital. The more we have friendships with devotees, the more we're fortified in this world. And he gives all his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Krishna can he's the only one who can completely reciprocate with us our love. So these are the four things that we must do, and if we do those, then we'll be completely happy and satisfied. And Sankirtan is the embodiment of all this together. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought us the process by which we can do all of those things together as a group and be completely happy. Sankirtan is life. Without it, life is just drudgery. It's torture. It's being in jail. This world is a jail. But if you do Sankirtan, it doesn't matter if you're in jail. You'll still be happy. Our friend Sankirtan Yagya was in jail for 10 years. And he started a Sankirtan movement inside the jail. And it doesn't matter if you're in the jail or outside the jail. If you have Sankirtan, you're happy. Because this whole world's a jail. So please go on with what you're doing here. It's so important. It's the most important organization in the world. And what you've done here is miraculous. You've come by yourselves to this remote place. You've organized expertly using all your resources together. And now you're doing these outreach programs, going all over, distributing books, distributing the holy names, and you're bringing in new people into this process that will definitely save them from the path of repeated birth and death. And higher, they'll be able to come back to their original constitutional position with Krishna. So all glories to your service. Go on with this Sankirtan as much as possible. Engage every person, and it doesn't matter if they're woman, child, man, or dog. Hare Krishna. All glories to Krishna Branson.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very inspiring class, and I hope you